Hey, here we go.
So I'm going to read a passage out of Psalms, and then we'll open up with prayer. And how many is ready to start the new year worshiping the Lord? Hallelujah. Yeah. God of heaven and earth. Amen. Psalms 100. It's a psalm of thanksgiving. It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It's he who has made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know we live in a world where they're moving the goalposts all around. They're trying to redefine what's right, what's wrong. How many knows that we serve a God that before he ever made the world, he had established what's right, what's wrong. He's not moving the goalposts. He's a God that does not change. And we need some kind of constants in our life, don't we? I mean, even the singers, they have to tune that piano. You don't tune a piano with another piano, do you? What will you have if you do that? Two out of tune pianos, right? But you tune it with a tuning fork, and we need to keep ourselves tuned up, not by what everybody else is saying, but by what the Word of God says. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your goodness that has been passed down through the generations, through those that ran before us. We thank you for the faithfulness of your saints that went before us, God. Help us, Lord, to serve our generation and to be faithful to the call that's upon our lives. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for the psalm that we just read, that it is you that made us, and we are your people. Lord, today we are going to enter your gates with thanksgiving, and we're coming into your courts with praise. And we are thankful to you, Lord, for this new year. Thank you that you got us through the last year. And Lord, we just embrace the future because you are in our future. And Lord, your word says that no good thing will you withhold from them that love you. So we give you praise. Hallelujah.
Yes, hallelujah.
Thank you.
You, Lord.
Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a big shout. And how many is ready to praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory.
Thank you, Lord. Bob, can you grab the lights, please? Thank you.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me?
It says here, and this is where we were finishing now. It says, I fall down on the ground, press my face against the earth, till my heart is raised over its head. And see, I think that's the thing this year, that instead of being up here and all this craziness, Father God, we just ask you that we can just touch your heart. That, Lord, that we can touch your heart, that we can hear your heart beating. That's how close we're going to get this year. And I don't mean corporately, I mean individually. I mean individually. Father God, help us to grow ever so close to you, because you are drawing us. You've been calling us. So I just speak to the busyness, the whirlwinds and all this stuff. Lots of works, lots and lots of works. But Lord, he says, I believe this year he says, slow down and get to know me. Because many of us don't really know him. And he's calling, he's wooing you. He's wooing me to deeper, deeper, deeper. So that's what I'm praying for my own life this year. Deeper, 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 even still deeper. And that's where he moves. That's where he comes out and says, this is what we're, this is go that, do. But we have to hear.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I have a picture of a goose. Honey, I'll let you, in just a second, I just have to share this. And I've shared it before, but it's worth sharing again. And I have it in my kitchen. I put it in my music room, and then I put it back. But anyway, it was like, it's a little girl that's holding a goose. And she's got her head on his back. And I said, Lord, why am I so drawn to this picture? Because I was in a fair or whatever it was, and I was sitting there, and all of a sudden I just darted over to that picture, and I bought it, and I met the artist, and it was like, God, why? Why am I drawn to this? And I said, okay, Lord. And he began to speak to me later on. And as she has her head down on the back of the bird's, her ear on the bird's back, I said, oh my gosh, Lord. It's hearing the heartbeat. She's hearing a heartbeat. She's hearing the heartbeat of God. And I said, oh my goodness, Lord, I want to hear your heartbeat. I don't want to hear a bunch of words from everybody. I don't. Because it's echoing. It's just, we're echoes. But I want to hear it from the main one. I want to hear his word. And so as I watched her, as I just looked at her, and I said, oh my gosh, Lord. And I've said this before. But it's his heart that we have to hear. We got to hear his beat. Not another beat, but his beat. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Happy New Year again. You know, Paul was on trial. Well, he was facing, you know, he was in chains. He was locked up, but he was given a witness to King Agrippa. And he said, I think myself happy, O King. How many knows you can think yourself happy? And God has put in great and precious promises in his word for all of us. And I encourage you guys to, we have a brand new bulletin that is in the back, has a calendar on there. I even saw my name in here. Why is my name in here? All the people that have birthdays got their name in the in print this month. So, but there's a men's breakfast going to be on the, it's always on the second Saturday of the month. So, the men, say that out loud. Second Saturday of the month. Wherever that happens to fall, you have to look at your calendar to make sure. We have, I don't see any other events. We have our evangelism explosion class getting ready. We have decided, just for this first round anyway, to use Wednesday nights to really begin to learn about that. And some of the people have bought the books already. Excuse me. The rest of the congregation is going to be asked to be prayer partners and be part of what we're doing. So it's really going to be a whole church kind of event, kind of a thing where we all have participation. Amen. How many knows that foot soldiers need air cover? Right? And so we're going to begin to do that. I'm going to be talking about some of these things even in the main messages, just because I believe that's the theme that the Lord has for the new year. And I was just kind of thinking about all the different things that's coming out. You know, every time there's a new year, the old one is behind us, new one's coming, and there's kind of an expectation that gets placed on certain people to come up with what's the new year going to be like, right? What kind of, and there are people, and I thank God for it, that God shows things. They're called seers in the Bible, which means they were able to see things coming. We have that account in the book of Acts where Agabus was one by name. There was other certain prophets that one prophesied that there was going to be a great famine. And it came to pass, just as he said. So God has used all these different things, different ways to help guide the church. And there's a time going back before I was ever a pastor when the spirit of prophecy would come on me at times. And I would have to have my knees shaken together and my whole body was like water before I would let it come out. And I still really feel that we need to really make sure it's the unction from the Holy Spirit to say, thus saith the Lord. Very, very careful about saying, thus saith the Lord. I rather would say, I have this strong sense. I've something in the Word of God stood out. Certain things are really catching my attention. And this is what I'm sensing or feeling. But to go to the next level and say, thus saith God, thus and so, unless I feel that unction, I'm not going to do that. But I am going to preach the Word of God. Preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. You know what that means? Be ready all the time. When you feel like it and when you don't feel like it. And so, that being said, you know, we always have, for many years, have taken the first part of the year to just seek the Lord and set special times aside for the new season. And we're going to continue to do that. And so you're all invited to be a participant in that, in the prayer times. And one of our major prayer events right now is 9:30 on Sunday morning. And we try to be pretty diligent about getting that started. We just turn the lights down, get a little bit of background music, just to until people pray out loud and it sounds like the sound of many waters. We're going to play a little bit of background music. Amen. And so I wrote a little piece yesterday. I said, let's start out the new year by saying goodbye to the past and hello to the future. You ready to do that? You got to do it anyway. It's yesterday's gone, right? I use a scripture, which is actually going to be in the text today a little bit at the end. And it's, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before us. Amen? How many's ready to do that? Hallelujah. So I have a suggestion for all of us. Rather than regret all those things we didn't accomplish in 2022, how about spending some quality time with the Lord and repent for not doing those things we had maybe promised the Lord, and begin looking forward in this new year, asking the Lord to help us to accomplish some things this year. And the Apostle Paul gave us some advice in Philippians. He said, let's forget those things which are behind. Let's not turn back and look at them anymore. Let's focus on something else. We can't change the past, but we can do something about the future. Make a decision today that you're finished fixing your mind on the past and things that you have repented of already. Things that have been erased by the blood of Jesus. The scripture reading, I won't read it all right now, but it's 1 John 7 through 9. It's in the bulletin. And then let's turn and look at the new year and thank God and His mercies are new every morning. If He gives us new mercies every morning, we need to be giving each other mercies every morning, right? Hallelujah. So one of the exercises that we do in the evangelism class that we're going to be doing is you sit down on a piece of paper and whatever it is that the Lord is bugging you, or not the Lord, but the devil is bugging you about, you're a sinner, and that comes from the Holy Spirit too. when we sin and we do something, God doesn't want that being held to our account. He's made a way for us to be able to erase that, and that's found in this scripture that I wasn't going to read. But it says, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another, the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all of our sin. If we say we don't have sin, we deceive ourselves, the truth not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we'll have people sit down in private, write down some things that they've done, that they're ashamed of, that sin. Write it out. Pray that prayer. And in sincerity of heart, say, Lord, I give this to you. I'm sorry for all of that. Okay? The reality that's no longer going to be charged against you because the blood of Jesus just cleansed you from that. You take the piece of paper, you rip it up, and you throw it away. It's done. And we have a hard time believing that, don't we? But, so that's one of the things that we do. Amen. What do we have? We're going to have communion today. And that'll come a little bit later. And I think the way we're going to do it today is I'm going to have the singers come up. And there's a song I wanted them to do. The rest of y'all will be lining up and coming around and getting the elements. And I'll have Rick, and Rick will pick somebody out to help him and hand it out while we're worshiping the Lord. And then Mike is going to bring the message or bring the prayer and the scripture reading for that. Right now, we're just going to leave this up here. This is the offering. Man, you guys are getting started out on the right foot. Hallelujah. We're going to be able to pay our bills this month. Praise God. Just close your eyes. Stretch your hands out towards us. Father, we just thank you. I thank you for the faithfulness that you are to us to keep the windows of heaven over us. We thank you, Lord, that you're such a good and generous God. And I thank you, Lord, for the people that have just come to know you and trust you in their finances. And we just ask your blessing to be upon this which we have received. And let your blessing be on every household, Lord. Lord, as we look to this new year, may we be a church that's bringing more people into your kingdom and watching Satan's kingdom diminish because of what we're doing in this place. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles today, open up to the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs chapter 11. I don't know if all of you know this, but did you know that there is one Proverbs for every day in the month? And I've made a pretty good habit over the years of trying to read one of those for whatever day it is. And there's always something in there that's very helpful. And so today is Proverbs 11. And it has to do with today. I'm going to be reading just verse, looks like 30, just for the sake of trying to stay what I believe the Lord has put on my heart, and that is the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Let's just pray one more time. Father, I pray that the word that we're about to speak on will resonate, Lord, it'll hit the mark. Lord, whatever it is that you have to say to us today, Lord, let it come through in these next moments as we look at your word. Help me, Lord, to bring the word in a way that brings honor to you and builds up and exhorts the saints of God so that we can run this race and run it well and take others with us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So when you look at this text, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that wins souls is wise. if you look at it in the text of what's being said here, it's like a better rendering would be that if you're wise, you're going to win souls. I'll let that sink in for a minute. You know, it looks like, by the way, it's verbiage that it's the other way around. But the wise man wins souls. It's supposed to be that a man is wise because he wins souls. But that's not really, I mean, that's kind of how we've learned this over the years. But the tree of life, or the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. In other words, the fruit that comes from your life, well, it just produces that. There's a later illustration that I was going to use. It's all the way in the back, but just to bring that to place. We don't have orange trees out here, but we did have them when we lived in Florida. After eating a Florida orange right off the tree, you needed several napkins to catch the juices. The ones that we have are cold storage for however many months. They're still, you know, pretty good, but an orange tree does not send out flyers through the neighborhood and put an article in the paper and say, hey, I'm an orange tree and I have fruit on me. No, it just naturally grows that fruit. And when the time comes, those oranges are very evident on there, and all one has to do is reach your hand up and pull one off, and you've got the fruit. And that's really, I believe, the picture, because you know the writer of Proverbs, he had a great, he tried everything to get happy. I mean, he had all kinds of horses, he had all kinds of vineyards, he planted all kinds of all kinds of hanging trees, and he had everything. He understood this text, I believe. And so the wise man may never even speak a word and yet win over a convert. Ever wondered about that? I was just contemplating this whole context of what kind of influence we have on people. We carry an anointing, whether we realize it or not. You can actually change the atmosphere, and it can be different when you're present, and it can be completely something else when you're not present. Why is that? Because John said, in 1 John, he said, every one of us has an anointing from the Holy One. We are carriers. Amen? If it's possible for somebody to be a carrier of, let's say, COVID, they're required to stay away from others at least 6 feet. Or, that's just the potential if you might be. If you really are, you have to stay somewhere. Like in the beginning, you have to go stay out in the trailer park. One of our ladies here had to go do that for a couple weeks or better. If it's possible to be a carrier of something like that, how much more so a carrier of the anointing of God? Think about Paul the Apostle. He's in jail, and he's chained to other prisoners. And later on, he writes and says, the household of faith that's in this jailhouse greets you. Because that anointing that was in Paul was getting on them. Getting people into this building is, and then having prayer cover and having people that are a tree of life already, people that are carrying the anointing. I remember when we first, my wife and I got married, going to a church in Gresham, and I remember the pastor was giving an altar call. Sometimes he gave it at the beginning of the service, during the song service. He said, He said, if you are not a believer yet, you're hanging around the wrong place. Because you can't hang around here for long without becoming one of us. And he said, so I was going to save it for the end of the meeting to give the appeal, but some of you want to get saved right now, so why don't you just do it, and then you'll be able to enjoy the rest of the meeting. And we'd have altar calls at the beginning of the service sometimes. I pray God bring that in here in a great measure. Amen. So the picture here is not of an evangelist that's running frantically all over the place, back and forth, trying to get people to turn to God. The real picture here is about just being a carrier of the anointing that you have inside of you. You're walking close to God. The Word of God is in you. The fruit of the Spirit is part of who you are. You know, I wrote this down. It's in Galatians. I didn't write down the exact text, but it's in, I think, 6. But it says, Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And the gifts of the Spirit are the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, word of faith, or supernatural kind of faith to believe for big things, gifts of healings, various kinds of tongues, discerning of spirits, prophecy, working of miracles, and interpreting spirits, interpreting tongues, I mean. How many knows that I don't think it's an accident that they put 9 gifts, and on the other hand, they got 9 fruit. And then you have the announcement being made that to John the Baptist, he's out there baptizing people. He said, "There's when you're out baptizing and you see a dove come down and land upon one of the people you're baptizing and he stays there, that is the Messiah. That's the Son of God." Well, what I've read is that a dove has 9 bones in each wing. We've also read that some of those tassels that we read about in the Old Testament, the priests would have a bell, and it would have fruit between the bell, pomegranate. We read in 1 Corinthians 13 that if we don't have love, all our gifts and all our big things that we do is like a sounding, just a clanging bell. We need to have the fruit that softens that sound in between. So, but we're the potential for us to carry this anointing where we go. And there's, you know, I read about God's no respecter of persons. Okay, how many knows that in the Bible? What that means is, if God has to do something for somebody one way, we have the potential to have that same effect. And I've read different accounts of men of God, and Charles Finney was one, and Wigglesworth was another, that they could just walk into a room and people would feel convicted of sin without them even saying something. And you know what that does to me? It says to me, walk close to God, be in His Word, don't harbor any kind of grudges, forgive quickly. Even while we were singing today, we're talking about how the Lord leaves the 99, goes after the one. You know what I thought about? Jesus was teaching on forgiveness, and He told His disciples that they needed to forgive. And one of them said, how many times? 7? What was the answer? 7 times 70. That's a big number. Well, if Jesus would ask us to forgive somebody that many times, this is where the devil works overtime. We might blow it as much as 3 times a day if you're really, 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 really holy and good in thought, action, or deed, or whatever. And the devil could come and say, on the 4th time or the 5th, you know what? Give it up, pal. God's getting tired of having you come to him and ask for forgiveness. Well, why would he tell his disciples to forgive 7 times 70 and he himself is unable to do that? See, our God is a God of mercy, isn't he? God of forgiveness. That doesn't mean that we're going to on purpose go do stuff, but he knows we live in a fallen world and he knows things happen. And but we can quickly keep short accounts. That's what I want to teach here. We don't have to wait for the next Sunday to roll around so that we can have Mass. Right? And we can have forgiveness however many times it takes throughout the day. Amen. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. However many times it takes. I remember this one preacher I heard about. His kid kept coming to the altar on Sundays. And the elders called the pastor to a special meeting and said, how long is that kid of yours going to keep running up there and getting saved every week? He goes, you leave the kid alone. He's going to go up there as long as it takes. And that's between him and God. Amen? I mean, just leave him alone. And who knows what they're doing? At least they're understanding that they need the Lord. That's a good place to be, that we all need God all the time. And so if we look at it in this context, the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, the challenge and the call really is that every person is qualified to be a preacher of the gospel just by necessity of being wise. Wisdom, you can't lose when you walk in wisdom. The Bible says seek wisdom. It's one reason I like Proverbs so much. It's got a lot of things about wisdom, but wisdom is the principal thing. And with all you're getting, get understanding. You know, you can be wise in certain things, but not know how to put it into application. And the two go together. It's like the sun, as an example. The sun comes out. How many enjoyed that sunshine this morning? I mean, where I started out, it was 23 degrees. But it didn't take very long for the sun to start lighting up the sky. And the warmth of that sun got into every little crevice and started hitting the trees, started melting the ice. Amen. And there's something about the sun. It does not come out with a strong hand and say, hey, I'm up. Everybody get out of bed, come out and look at me. No, the sun just has a way of making its way into every crevice. The warmth of that sun, there's a drawing about that. Even a crippled person will ask somebody to wheel me outside. I want to go sit in there and bask in that for a little bit. And they may even dream of being able to, the day that they used to be able to run, or maybe they never were able, but the day that maybe they could get up and run through a meadow. And that's, the sun has a way of getting light and warmth into every crevice, every nook and cranny on this planet. And even so, the wise man really is out doing things in his life that probably is not even aware of half of the impact he's having on other people. You know, if you look at some of the ways that Jesus commended his servants on the day of judgment, they were saying, Lord, when? When did we do that? I mean, you're keeping track, but I really wasn't. I was just I was just being what you, the change that you put in me, I was just walking it out. It's like, you know, I forgot to put my opening notes here, but there was a sign on the church. Those of you that made resolutions, maybe you're going to take your vitamins this year. Maybe you're going to start an exercise plan. Start that, whatever it is, that new class. But I saw this sign on the church years ago, and it said the best vitamin for a Christian is B1. You can be what the Lord just puts in you. Amen. And when people look at you, people study your motives. That's why it's so important. The Bible says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. I can't tell you what a downer that is to have somebody come in here, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and walk outside and just a blue flame is just coming out of their mouth. Happens too often. And people are studying. They're watching. They're watching us. What happens when we drop something on our foot? Oh, bless his holy name. They're watching us. They're studying us. And for some, they can't laugh at your faith as long as you are alive, because it's genuine. Amen. And it's a great testimony. Look at Jesus when he was in the garden on the day of his resurrection. Some thought he was a gardener, right? He had obviously concealed who he was, but they thought he was a gardener, but even the gardener was having some kind of an effect on them that was not normal. Think about the two guys that were on the road to Emmaus. They're kicking rocks. Some guy comes up beside them, which was the Lord. He had concealed who he was. But what's wrong, guys? What do you mean, what's wrong? Where have you been? Hello? Oh, what do you mean, where have I been? What's going on? Well, this, you heard what they did to our Lord? Oh, tell me about it. Then he begins to tell them the gospel, going back to Moses, and they said, come on in and have dinner with us, and they compelled him to come in. They sat down and broke bread together, and right when they broke the bread, suddenly they realized, it's the Lord! And he disappears. And this is the key of what happened. This has happened. Every one of us has this potential on people. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us? That's the anointing. That's what separates Christians that are walking with the Lord from all the other stuff that's out there. That's just a lot of words and a lot of ideas, a lot of philosophies. Amen. So the subject today in this text, one needs to be wise in order to win souls. It's been said that the fool will not win anybody. You're not going to win anybody by being an idiot. It's okay to say that? Not going to win anybody that way. And we don't drive souls. I was just thinking about, you know, some of us as kids, you know, we got driven to church by our parents. I had to go to church when I was in high school if I wanted the keys to the car on the weekend. I went, but my physical body was there, but my soul was somewhere else. How many knows that's possible? Not here, of course, but see, people, when Jesus came, that's another thing. This gospel that we preach really doesn't have all the answers to all the different themes that are out there. The main theme of the gospel is to get people away from wrong thinking, get them away from prejudice, get them away from foolishness, anger, unforgiveness. When Jesus came, his main business was to heal not just the physical body, but to heal the mind and the will and the emotion so that they would be willing to want to follow God. Because heaven, and I thought about this a lot, but, you know, heaven is not going to be a place where we have to have armed citizens to guard our stuff. People who get to heaven are going to be there because they wanted to go there. Amen. It's going to be a whole new order of things. And it's all the tears and all the stuff that we're associated with today, God says he's going to somehow really wipe that away from us. We're not going to think about that anymore. All tears and all sorrow will be wiped away. How many would look forward to that in your life? Amen? Because the reality is we all have these different things going on, but Jesus came to bring a healing. He offers forgiveness, and in return, he gives the power of the Holy Spirit to also walk even as he walked. And so Christianity becomes an appeal to people. And there's times when we must warn. There's times that we must, have a sense of urgency. Like, this is really, really important. Paul said it this way. He said, "We beseech you by the mercies of God. Turn to the Lord. Give up this way of sin. We beseech you. I beseech you." I mean, he's intense about it. John the Baptist was standing at the Jordan River, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." This isn't some game. There's another option. If you don't make heaven, well, you're going to be in another place that's not quite as nice. No, there's only two ways. We're going to live forever, people. And it's hard for us to picture that in our mind, but that's what the Bible teaches, is we are forever being. We're going to live forever somewhere. Amen? "We beseech you," Paul says, "by the mercies of God." Well, I don't have to go out and make an appeal like that to get someone to take my gold bars off my hands, if I had some. "Would you please take these gold bars off my hands? They're really good for you." But we have to make appeals to people. Why is that? Well, I think I could go a lot different routes on this, but we are a very complex people, are we not? We are fearfully and wonderfully made. If you look at the universe and the expanse of the universe, but you just look at the human body, you look at our mind, will, and our emotions, you look at our different things that get planted in our minds that cause us to be at enmity with God, to be against the Lord. Not only is that something that we're born with, a sin nature, but the devil is working overtime trying to keep people blinded to the light. And when we pray, Paul wouldn't have put these scriptures in there. Jesus wouldn't have put the scriptures in there. He said, "Unless you bind the strong man, you can't spoil his goods." So our prayer really needs to be constantly praying that God to break the witchcraft off this community, that all the different stuff that's coming through the media, all the things that the devil has his hands on, that we just pray. The weapons of our warfare are mighty. We need to be voicing those prayers. They do make a difference. We're here because somebody prayed for us. Amen? I know I'm here because the church I ended up in had my name on a piece of paper for a year and a half. And it just so happened that that's the church I ended up going to, because I got a phone call and invited to it the day after I gave my life to Christ somewhere else in another town. And that made me a believer that God is He's orchestrating all this stuff. And He got me into a place where the church had already been praying for me for a year and a half. And I started out with a really good start. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord of the universe, the one that invented this gospel. You know, we didn't invent this. He invented it. And He also knows that inside of each one of us is a hunger and a thirst to find some kind of satisfaction. It's a built-in thing. And even up in where we live in our park, it came to my attention that somebody was observing one of our people here and saying, you know what, you have something I don't have. And I know it has to do with God and the Bible. Would you talk to me about that? Because I don't have satisfaction, and I sense it in you. See, that's your drawing card to others. When you're walking in peace, you're walking in the love of God, God is putting you in their path to win them to Himself. Amen. And I love my notes. I got lastly, and then I got lastly. I'm almost on lastly. I want to just say this, that, and I thought about this when I backpacked the Appalachian Trail. Before us is an open sky, like a mountain. But there's a mountain range ahead. And we climb. I remember thinking about this. This is back in 1976. Boy, when I get to that top of that mountain, that's going to be it. And I'd get there, and I'd stop and take a breath and sit down and rest a little bit, catch my breath, and look at how much bigger the sky got, only to see another mountain range. Have you ever seen those maps that they're all... You go to the Appalachian Mountains, they just never end. But the sky is now bigger with another mountain range in the distance. And this is really a picture of the Christian life. It should humble us, and at the same time it should inspire us. That many people, many going back to the saints of old, have traveled down this same road that we're on today. Some, they got there a little faster than we did. Some, maybe quite a bit slower than we did. But getting there, they did. And thank God that we have others that went before us and handed the baton off to us, and that they have been down this same journey, and they were able to end on a good note. Amen. That there's a testimony. I've got books at home of different quotes and different life. You guys, your team can come up now because I'm on lastly. But here's the theme as we go into this new year that I want to see people delivered. I want to see people miraculously healed. I want to see in the spirit. I wish I could just see pictures of that. Others have seen it. I've never even seen an angel by my own physical eyes. Maybe I have. Maybe my wife is that person. I don't know. But others have. Others have seen angels hanging around me. But I want to see people, I want to see angels walking up down these aisles saying, you know what, Joni, you've been faithful in little. You have run the race up the hard mountain you climbed last time, but you got there. I've got a brand new gift I'm going to hand you today. It goes for every one of you in here. I want to see that. I believe God's waiting. There's stuff on the shelf in heaven that still have your name on it. And my prayer is that when we get to heaven, that Peter doesn't give us a tour, we end up in this big warehouse. But wow, look at all that stuff. Yeah. That was for you on planet Earth, but there were certain things that you had to do to get to that place, and you're here at least. Maybe that's going to be some of the wiping away the tears. What could have been? I think it's a word for you too, Jim. You've been fighting a long, hard fight, but you keep battling out. Your prayers. Don't ever underestimate faithful prayers. I mean, only heaven's going to know when that happens. But I want to see angels walking up down these roads. I wish I could see it, but it's going to happen. As long as you stay faithful to the things of God, we have the promise in here that the Lord wants to... there's different gifts. There's different administrations of that gift. But he wants all of them in operation in the churches. Amen. A soul is won when it repents. A soul is won when it says, Lord, I believe. Please help my unbelief. And a soul is won when we, like Peter, say, Lord, you know all things. And you know I love you. And this is where it starts. You get people, first of all, born again. The next thing is to get them baptized in water. And then watch the Lord begin to release the different outpourings of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Happy New Year. I'm going to turn this over to the song service and to our brother Mike. Thank you. Your attention today. I hope this blesses you. Amen.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. highest keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
One more time.
You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Attention this morning to one phrase in that song, and it's a promise keeper. That is who our God is. He is a promise keeper. When Christ went to the cross, he went to the cross to purchase our salvation, and he is a promise keeper. He's the one in whom we trust. 1 Corinthians 11:23-26 says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'The cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" Rick, can you pass out to him? Oh, that would be fun. You'll just manage that. So you can come up and get your emblems here if you would. So when we do this in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's many ways to remember what he did. Obviously, he died on the cross. He shed his blood. His body was gouged and beaten. And he says, "Do this in remembrance of me." But what did he purchase? What did he purchase for us? I want you to look at this one phrase in this. It says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Well, if the old covenant was satisfactory, we wouldn't need a new covenant, would we? But what's in this new covenant that Jesus Christ purchased for us? What kind of new life does Jesus Christ have planned for us? I'd like you to think about that just a moment. 1 Corinthians 2:9-10 says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Eye is not seen, ear is not heard." How great is the love of God for us? How wondrous is it? How far does it reach? The Bible tells us that his hand stretches across the universe. And so God has taken this world, this universe, and he has created something that is just for us. And he has purchased it through the new covenant. Our salvation is such a wondrous gift from God that how do we even describe it? How do we even compare it to anything else in the world? But yet God says, "I'm a promise keeper. I keep my promises. I have new life. I have a new place for you." Revelation 21 says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Jesus loved us so much that he went to the cross for the joy that was set before him. And what do you suppose the joy that was set before him was? To see you, to see me, to see all of us spending eternity in heaven in the presence of the Lord God Almighty. Because without the sacrifice of Christ, we couldn't even come close to God. Nowhere close. And yet that sacrifice that Jesus said, he says, do this in remembrance of me. Remember that I paid the price for your sin. Remember that I hung on the cross and that I bled and that I died for your sin, for the things that you have done wrong, for my sin, for the things that I've done wrong. Jesus paid the price for all of it so that we could live a new life through the new covenant that was created for us, that we could live in this place that God has created for us. Jesus said, I go to prepare you a place. And that place was prepared for you and for me. As we go there in newness of life, as we accept the things that Jesus Christ did on the cross, we are also promised this wondrous place called heaven. And heaven isn't just a figment of our imagination. No, heaven is real. Heaven is real. So how do we know what heaven's like? Well, the Bible describes a little bit about it, doesn't it? It talks about the river of life. It talks about the 12 trees that line the river of life and where they have new fruit every month. So there's 12 different types of fruit throughout the year. It talks about this wondrous place that God has prepared for all of us, the New Jerusalem. And as I think on these things, how do I know that they're there? How do I know that they're something that's solid? Well, I'm a little bit of a builder. That's kind of what I do. And before I build something, there's this thing that God gave me called an imagination. And in this imagination, I can see what it is that I'm going to build before I ever build it. I can kind of see how things fit together, how they're going to work. Oh, I'm going to have to do this over here to make it work. Oh, I need to do that over there. It's got to have this support. Whatever it is, I can kind of see that in my imagination. And then I'll get out a piece of paper and I'll write it down. And I'll draw out this structure or whatever it is that I'm going to build. Well, God has given us these things in the Bible to look at, to read about, to see what it is that God has prepared for us. Have you ever seen heaven? Have you seen that crystal sea where there'll be millions of people worshiping the Lord? Have you seen the river of life, clear as crystal, that flows? I may not have seen them with the physical eye, but I've seen them in my mind's eye. God has shown me the things that he's prepared for us, the things that he's promised, the things that he paid for with his own son. And as we do this in remembrance of him, it says, don't forget the Lord, but remember all of his benefits too. We are a peculiar people. We get to enjoy the benefits of a relationship with the Almighty God. And without Christ, you don't have that. The pastor was talking about it earlier today. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's all of us. Yet the gift of God is everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through his sacrifice on Calvary's cross, he's the one that paid the price that we can have everlasting life, that we can have joy unspeakable, that we can live and dwell with the God who created the universe, the God who put this earth here for us to walk on, the God who loves us so much that he let Jesus Christ suffer a horrible death on the cross. So today we're going to do this in remembrance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He stayed on the cross. He followed through with the Father's plan. And the Father's plan was that we could have everlasting life and live in his presence. Looks like we might be a little low on supplies here. I think Rick is actually taking them up to other people. But I want you to consider this promise keeper, the one who keeps his promises, the one who is the surety for his word. There is no one like him. He put the stars in place. He put the sun and the moon there for signs of times. And even put the oceans and the water in place and set their bounds so they could not go any further, but they could only go this far and no further. When God does something, it is absolute. It's not gray or maybe. It is absolute. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross, it was prophesied hundreds of years before he ever did that. And it is absolute that he was purchasing us. He was purchasing our salvation. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. You are so good. Thank you. So as we take these emblems that represent the death of Jesus Christ, we're also taking emblems that represent new life for us. New life. A new place for us to dwell. A new place for us that we have never been before. But yet God has given us a taste of that. Hallelujah. Through His Spirit. So today, as you take these things and do this in remembrance, remember that we serve a mighty God who is absolute, who is sure, and we have a wondrous place awaiting us. So let's take the bread. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, that Jesus Christ died on the cross, that He gave His body. And we have this symbol, Lord God, of the body of Christ that was broken for us. Oh Lord, we thank you today. We do this in remembrance of what Jesus did. Thank you for your body that was broken for us. And Lord, as we hold the cup, we think about the blood that was shed for our salvation. We think about the blood that was poured out as Jesus walked even up the hill. The blood that was shed that we might have everlasting life in the presence of the Father. We do this in remembrance, and we give you praise, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your willingness to die for me, for all of these here, for your willingness to take our sin upon you. And not only for that, Lord God, but to give us a hope and a future. We give you praise. So Lord, I pray you'll be with your people this day as they go home. I pray you'll keep them safe. I pray you'll minister to them, oh God. I pray, Spirit, you will reveal even more as time goes on, that it will become more real, because the time is wearing out. The time is growing close. We'll be going home soon. Let's be excited about that. Let's be excited about what Christ purchased for us. Hallelujah. The time is at hand. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you, each and every one.
That is who you are. 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 You are Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper, Light in the Darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper, Light in the Darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper, Light in the Darkness, my God, that is who you are. Who you are, that is who you are. 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 Even when I don't see that you're working, even when I don't feel that you're working, you never stop working. Oh, no, you don't. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Yes, we do. Oh, we thank you. Yes, we thank you, Lord. Your hand is upon us and leading us. Even when I don't see it, you're working. even when I don't feel that you're working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see that you're working. Even when I don't see that you're working. Never stop working.
Darkness, my God, that is who you are.